What's up, everyone? Welcome to Power Couple Podcast. Today is episode 4. It's going to be about sticking it through the shitty times. I'm Tyler.
I'm Elizabeth.
And we're the Boydens.
You know, I'm Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. They have a scene where they all have to go in the middle and sing on three all together. And they can't get it right. Because they're always like, is it on three or after three? That's all that reminded me of when you had to count.
Sure, that's great. So for those of you guys that can't see this, we do have to do a three count to make sure that we say the Boydens at the same time. For this one, we really wanted to go over some of our own life experiences to help you guys out there. A lot of you couples will be able to say, well, they didn't have to go through as tough times as we did. Hopefully, there's a lot of you out there that are going to be able to say, well, we didn't have to have it that hard.
Ain't that the truth?
And finally, for those of you guys that aren't even in a relationship yet, this will help you be more prepared for what you might be getting into. Because if you're in it for the long haul, it's gonna take work.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of communication.
So for the first topic, we wanted to talk about how relationships can oftentimes come from the craziest of places. With ours, it started under a streetlight on the side of the road.
That's true. When I first met him, I was actually going to meet his friend, but I got them mixed up originally, and I didn't find out till later that night.
I still remember that night to this day. And the craziest part after that is they actually started getting together. They got married, but as you can see, that marriage didn't exactly last.
But we did reconnect during everything.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that they can often come from the craziest places, because it was just a crazy situation where we were falling out of friendship, they were falling out of their marriage, and I was also getting out of a bad relationship myself. So it kind of connected us a little bit coming out of bad relationships.
We had someone to talk to about things when we didn't have anybody. So that really helped out in like opening up and connecting and having things in common.
Yeah, not to give you the whole long story, but the less that my friend was there for me, she was there for me, then that connection just slowly started to build more and more. To where eventually we just had to let everybody know what was that we were talking to each other, that we were starting to like each other.
Yes, I had I had already planned on like moving out and getting a divorce and everything, because I actually had started going to therapy, and Tyler was the one to help me through that. And he took me to the mall after every therapy session to window shop, because, I mean, at that time, I wasn't the biggest on shopping. I mean, maybe online. Nah, I lie. I ate out a lot. So, I mean, I count that as shopping because it still makes me happy. But he was there for me, so, like, when I didn't have anybody. So, I mean, once I decided that I was getting a divorce and everything, we just decided to move it further and go to the next step.
Yeah, I definitely have that white knight syndrome where I want to swoop in.
He did
my dishes.
Yeah. He did the dishes one day and sent me a picture. And yeah. I was hooked then.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've learned in life is definitely go after what you want. You can't be scared to go after what you want, because you never know. The worst thing is you might not get it, but, you know,
you're not going to know until you try, and I always say that. Like, when I'm having a problem with something, like, if I need to ask somebody something, like, maybe for help or their advice, or if I want to hang out or something, but I'm anxious about it, because I'm very anxious about I have social anxiety, so it's really hard for me sometimes. So I always say, you're never going to know until you ask. I mean, the worst they can say is no. I mean, it's not like they're going to cut you out of their life and never talk to you again. Like, they can say no, and that's it. And then you just move on. Go from there. Figure something else out.
Yeah, always be on the lookout and definitely jump at those chances whenever you can. You only get one life.
That's for sure. And hang on to it.
So from there, we eventually, after she had moved out to her parents for a little while, we got comfortable enough to where we wanted to move in together. I had my own place, and she decided that she was going to spend the night enough to where she might as well be a roommate.
Well, I already had stuff there before I moved out, because, I mean, I kind of figured, you know, that's where I was going to end up, but I was giving it time.
Yeah, I was trying to be a gentleman and letting her make that choice.
And it did make it a little harder, because at the time, I was in the Hot Springs Village, and he was in Malvern, so, like, it's almost an hour drive just to get back and forth. So it was just a lot easier to stay the night.
Yeah, she was the only one with a car at the time, so it really made it a struggle, especially since she had this little crappy Ford with the most terrible transmission, and then...
But it had the best lights inside of it. The lights changed colors, which I know nowadays, like, you could do that to any car, but at the time, it was my very first new car, and it was the best.
Yeah, it was nice on the interior. Everything else, though, was complete crap. I mean, it had a whole bunch of trouble shifting up to the... After the first gear, you would have quite a bit of kick. And then the tires on it, I don't know what it was about those tires, but...
And my spark plugs were really bad. Yeah. Or we changed them and it, like, ruined the car or something.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy going through all that. But she eventually got moved in. We actually didn't have a stove at that place. For those of you guys that don't know, Malvern, Arkansas is a pretty...
Bare minimum. So when you have a place, you don't have like a washer. Well, you always bring your washer and dryer. So like you don't have a fridge and a stove or a dishwasher in most places. So you have, or central heat and air. So you kind of have to like get all that stuff yourself. So, which at the time it was what we decided to do and we agreed on it. We talked about it and we got our toaster oven.
Yeah, we stuck with that toaster oven for a while. So, I mean, if you guys don't have anything else to use, get one of those toaster ovens and you can even cook like chicken legs, steaks, anything you need in there.
Yeah, and now they have toaster ovens that do so much more, because that was like six, seven years ago. That was a while ago. So, like, they have some bomb-ass ones now.
Yeah, which we were young adults, so that's one of the reasons why we didn't really... It's not that we couldn't afford an oven. We kind of chose not to. We used our funds for other things.
Like... I had a very bad eating out problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit that. I for sure did. And we also didn't have like a washer and dryer. So we did have to go to the laundromat a lot. I remember one time in Malvern, we went to the laundromat. And we went... Their clothes got stolen.
We went to McDonald's to go get a soda.
It was across the street, basically, because Malvern's really small.
Yeah, it took like maybe 5-8 minutes to go and get that soda and then come back because, you know, we wanted to waste a little bit of time, and that was definitely a mistake.
Yes. We never did that again.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty big struggle up in Malvern. We definitely went through quite a bit. I mean, we even got to where we were a whole year behind on rent because we were so immature that we both didn't really want to go to work.
We did, and I didn't. At the time, I was, we worked at a call center, and I did not handle that very well. I was really young, too, and so with my anxiety and depression and the pressure of selling stuff and everything...
It was stressful. It was cell phones.
Yeah, I didn't handle it very well, and the environment wasn't the best. So, I mean, he helped me through that, but at the same time, you know, we were kind of lazy about it all. So, I mean, when we did get a year behind, I mean, I guess that kind of young love for you. Yeah, I guess it kind of snapped us back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was real hard, especially talking to my landlord about it. Because, I mean,
yes,
the whole lease was under my name. I mean, she had just moved in.
Yeah.
I kind of had to explain that to him because, you know, the landlord's going to notice that she's around more often. I mean, that's another thing, like I was saying, don't be afraid to go after something, don't be afraid to ask, because that was something we kind of worked out, and we actually got paid back up on it.
Yeah, I mean, we got caught back up, but I mean, the worst the person can say is no, like, we can't do that, or yes. Yeah.
I mean, he wanted his money, so it's not like he's going to say no to getting all of the money that he's owed.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, we got caught back up on it, and it was an amazing feeling, too. Like, we just communicate. We started to grow together and communicate more about funds and...
Yeah, going through these hard times definitely helped us grow together, get a whole lot closer. I mean, there were some pretty crazy times, too. Living in Malvern, if you've ever seen the movie Sling Blade, it is definitely that country out there and that hick, because we lived to, I believe, I don't want to just kind of judge people, but I'm pretty sure we lived next to a family of meth heads, because at one point...
You got a cat for there.
Yeah.
And we still have him. And he's normal.
Yeah, that's Rocket.
Yeah, he's normal, thank goodness.
Yeah, he used to come home and he was tweaking out. Like, he would...
It was bad. We were worried.
He looked paranoid and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so bad that they would have a lady out back that would sit next to our fence and just kind of sit in her underwear and a tank top and dig at the fence. That town was bad, man. Like, let me tell you, going through some stuff with your partner definitely builds things up, makes you guys a little tougher in life, yeah, too. I mean, while we lived there, we actually had to deal with news coming out about somebody getting beat to death, like, two roads away from us.
Yeah, that was pretty intense, because they ended up finding him in the dumpster and everything, and then at that time... We were both, or I was, I'm pretty sure I was looking for another job at that point, because I had quit the call center.
Yeah, and we both ended up quitting the call center. And yeah. I mean, if you work at a call center, props to you, man. If you love it, double props to you, because we couldn't make it in there.
It just wasn't my forte. Yeah, I mean, when I was actually managing the team, I felt a little bit better, but when I was actually, like, having to sell and everything and being all that pressure, I just couldn't handle that. So
I think I could sell now, but the kind of pressure that they were putting you under, especially having like outside issues being put on you, like if a tech did something wrong out there, the customer was yelling at you about it, it was just too stressful. But yeah, she ended up getting a new job elsewhere. I got a job at Pizza Hut, I believe it was.
In Hot Springs. We were both working in Hot Springs and lived in Malvern. So it was like, a 45, depending on traffic and everything. It was like a 45-50 minute drive.
Yeah, our car smelled like pizza and it was awesome.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love food.
But let me tell you, whenever we got caught up and everything, it was the best feeling in the world. I'm telling you, a year worth of rent we got caught up on. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were starting to make quite a bit of money between her new job. Where were you working?
I think I went back to King Cone at that point for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that you were working over there, and then I was getting...
No, I was already working at Ozark Cleaners.
Okay, so yeah, you were working at the dry cleaners, and I was making awesome tips. I mean, I look like a little white college student going up saying, I have great manners thanks to my mom, so I know how to definitely please people whenever I go up to the door with a pizza and put a smile on their face, give them a little bit of joke, you know. Make them laugh, and they'll definitely give you a bigger tip. Just a little hint for you, those of you out there that are in that kind of work. But, yeah, we were doing awesome between the two new jobs that we were having, and that's whenever things started going south. While I was working at Pizza Hut, as it was one rainy night that I remember, it was dark. I had to get out of my car to go and walk this pizza to where it needed to be. The Google Maps location was sending me to the wrong side of the street. So it was just a whole bunch of bad things happening. I was walking around and I stumbled into a big hole in the ground with my left leg. So I overextended it. I stepped down really hard and I can remember the feeling of that pinching in my leg. So just a little background on that. I had bone cancer whenever I was a teenager, osteosarcoma in my leg. It was in my left knee. I ended up having to have a lot of the bone taken out of my leg. I still have my leg, but pretty much like 6 inches from my knee down to my foot and then back to my hip. On both sides, they took out, and there's a titanium rod in there. What had happened is whenever I stepped down, it had actually given me a hairline fracture in my leg.
Yeah, and then we also went canoeing once, and he, a little bit, it was either before that or after that. And he also went forward on the canoes and hit both of his shins on the wooden bars. And we had to go to the ER for that. And they didn't really notice anything. It was just really bruised, they said.
Yeah, that was like one of the only times I've ever been canoeing. That was the very first
time. That's the last time.
I went canoeing. It was a time where her brother was really wanting all of us to come. So I didn't want to be one of those people that just kind of said, well, I can't go. I have a disability. I really didn't want that to hit my pride. So that's one of the main reasons why I went. And because it sounded like a lot of fun. I mean, it's canoeing.
I don't like canoeing. I'm going to put that out there. I went just for them. Canoeing makes me anxious.
Yeah.
Period. Point blank. I don't know. It makes me so anxious.
Well, the problem whenever we went was that there was a little bit of a drought. It hadn't rained in a while, but they didn't shut down the part that you could canoe on. It was on the Caddo River here in Arkansas that we went, the Caddo Valley River. So whenever we were going through there, we got flipped over quite a bit. I remember her cousin having her canoe flip, and they lost quite a bit of their sodas as well as like their cooler and everything. But what had happened is we went around a bend, and I didn't see a stump that was coming up. And whenever we hit the stump, I flung forward. Both of my shins hit the wooden, like there's a wooden beam that you can sit on. I was at the very end of the boat, kind of watching over everything. And I flung forward almost onto her brother and hit both of my shins. It hurt so bad. Both of my shins were so bruised. And by the time that I got to the end of that track, I couldn't walk. I ended up laying down waiting for everybody to get up to us. And they were so swollen.
Yes, it was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, everybody was worried.
We went to the ER and they said it was just really bruised and he should put ice on them and let it put them up. And
yeah, they said they didn't see anything.
Yeah. So then he was working at Pizza Hut. And then that's when I got a phone call when I was working at the dry cleaners that he had broke his legs. Or, not legs, sorry. That he had broke his leg. And I was like, you're kidding, right? This is a joke. And they assured me it wasn't.
Man. So, I was just walking around my job inside of Pizza Hut. I walked by where they do the dishes. And I had a little bit of a slip. It wasn't even that big of a slip. I caught myself on the dishes, but I guess it was the angle that my leg was at, kind of pushing on the heel up, holding myself up, because I didn't have my other leg under me. Both of them were kind of on their heels to where I had to hold myself up, either by my arms with the where the dishes were being cleaned, or by the heels on my leg. And I guess I put too much pressure on that left leg, and it snapped in the middle of my shin. I still remember the sound of it, the feel of it. It just kind of flopped over. I rolled over and bawled my eyes out because this would be the second time in my life where I wouldn't be able to work. I'd have to kind of lay everything down because of my health. So it was a pretty traumatic experience. And I mean, whenever the EMTs got there, they flipped me over. They cut off the leg on my jeans. Or of my work leg. Yeah, they cut my shoe open because my foot was so swollen.
Yeah, they gave me his pants cut up.
They took some cardboard out to put around my leg, which was pretty crazy. I was surprised they didn't have something a little bit more medical, but I mean, it worked.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that we literally worked maybe a few minutes down the road, and I didn't hear the ambulance or anything. And at that time, I couldn't leave the current job I was at to go to the ER, so I got there a few hours later, and he was just in so much pain, and they told me that they couldn't do the surgery until in the morning, and it was Valentine's Day is when this happened. Mm-hmm. It was like one of our first Valentine's Day together, like moved in as a couple, and like caught up and everything.
Yeah.
It was really intense and nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of stress, that's for sure. And I mean, it wasn't just that. At that time, I did have a little bit of a mess-up where I was just a little bit unfaithful. So I do want to put that out there that nobody's perfect. So we definitely had a little bit of a bout there. It wasn't anything serious. Like, you know, I didn't go out and mess with some girl or something. But there was a little bit.
It was a text message, and I mean, he was really messed up on morphine, and he told me before I even got his phone.
I'm just a little too honest.
To be honest, I mean, I was a little pissed off at first, and I was like, well, I mean, karma's a bitch, so. But I mean, I calmed down and everything, and I looked at everything, and I mean, it was like a hug, so. We had this extremely long talk when he sobered up.
Yeah.
Because they had him on morphine. So, like, I didn't really feel like I could really talk to him about that at that point in time. Because, I mean, he was messed up. I mean, I didn't know what he would remember. So, like, because, I mean, to be honest, I've never been in the hospital. So, that was my first time ever being in the hospital with somebody for something like that. Because I've never done it myself at that point either.
Yeah.
So like, it was just a first for everything for both of us.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of firsts together. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And that was like 7 years ago now.
Yeah. We've been through quite a bit, and that's why we talk about honesty so much on this podcast, because we've been through so many situations where honesty has been kind of the line where either we make it or we don't.
Yes, for sure. Like, you have to be honest. I mean, if you're scared to be honest, I mean, like I said before, you're never gonna know until you try.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been my thing. Like, I mean, honestly, I mean, like, I don't work out very much or anything, but, like, I say I'm never gonna know until I try. But I apply that for, like, things I ask, or, like, when I go to for school, like, stuff like that, when I'm never going to know until I decide what I'm going to do.
So, from there, we ended up having to, of course, since my leg was broken, we had to get it reconstructed and everything. We still lived in Malvern for a little bit. I went through quite a bit of pain laying there. For a while, as she took care of me, I am very grateful for her. She was my little nurse through all of this. She took amazing care of me.
They couldn't get his painkillers after his surgery and everything for, like, it was like a day and a half after his surgery. So he had it on the way home and everything. But by the time, like, they did it in, what was it, Little Rock?
Yeah, it was Little Rock, so it was an hour away.
Yeah, an hour away. So by the time we got home, he was already in pain. And they couldn't get his prescription in time. So, like, we stayed up all night together. We talked. We cried. I rubbed his hair.
Yeah, there was a lot of emotions that night.
I called for help, and for, like, with my parents and grandma and stuff, like, what I could do. So, I mean, it was intense.
Which we actually ended up moving in with your parents first because of all this. They were,
They were very helpful.
They were nice enough to let us come in, especially with me being, you know, so new in the relationship with you too.
Yes.
Yeah, we had only been together for what, like a year then? Like a year and a half?
Yeah, and then they had already met him and everything. We went on hikes and stuff together, and I was living with them. But it was really soon after, like, you know, I split up and, you know, I haven't technically got divorced, but I was divorced in my eyes, you know. Yeah.
And my parents didn't have the room because my brothers were still living at home. So, it's not like I could go to my house.
Yeah, and they helped get us there because, I mean, they knew that I would need help because, I mean, I'm a princess. I'm going to be honest. I'm definitely a princess. So,
yeah,
I don't do very much of like lifting heavy things.
She was more high maintenance now, but she's definitely more of a tomboy now than she was.
Yeah,
she's willing to do a lot more.
I grew a lot in our relationship.
Yeah, having to go through all that, I had to really trust her with helping me with a lot of, like, the bandaging that I had to do to keep everything safe and secure and just sterile. And, I mean, it helped us become a whole lot closer having to go through all that struggle. It helped our bond between each other become so much stronger, too. Like, we have so many stories that we can go through of, you know, just the struggle and strife that we've had to go through in life together. And I feel like that kind of stuff makes relationships stronger. If you can make it through that and still be happy together, then you have something there.
Yeah, for sure. when we moved in my parents, he started to get better. His legs started to grow back and everything. It ended up growing. We got better. We had, you know, good times. He was all crutches. You know, for a little bit, for maybe a month or two.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
And we noticed that it was crooked. His leg was bowed out.
Yeah, my leg was starting to bow to the outside. Like, almost popping out
of its skin. So we went to the doctor.
Like, Legolas could use it and probably fire an arrow out of it. It was so bent out.
Oh, my God. So we ended up going back to the doctor, and they looked at it, and they said, well, we're going to need to redo this.
Yeah, they had to basically break it all out
and let it heal and go back in and redo it all. So, I mean, it was a whole...
I have a lot of metal in my leg right now.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that.
That's for sure. He would sink if we swam.
Yeah.
So we, during that time, we ended up getting pregnant. We had Bruce. And he's 3 now. It took, 3 years? 2.5 years for your leg to get better. Because he's 3 now. And you were off crutches by the time his birthday came around.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Because all the stuff that happened with my leg bowing out. I was going through college. She was pregnant.
Yeah, and I was not a happy
I ended
pregnant.
Up having to quit college due to all the stress. And me just... not believing in myself that I would be able to do it. Yeah, having to go through all the medical issues. So, I mean, there was definitely plenty to go through then as well.
We really had to learn how to communicate about our feelings and, like, what we needed. Especially with everything with his leg. And then on top of that, you know, I got pregnant. So, I mean, and to begin with, we planned it on adopting. Like, because he had chemo.
Yeah, so I really didn't think I was going to have a kid. Teenager, so this is our miracle baby.
Yeah, he's our little miracle baby. We didn't think we would have kids. And I had never gotten pregnant either. So, like, we just never thought we would have our own. So, when we got pregnant, we really had to rely on each other on communicating and what we needed.
Yeah, because she was on crutches, or I was, sorry, I was on crutches and she was pregnant, so, I mean, we're both basically handicapped there.
Yeah, and at the time, I still had to work a full-time job in the heat, and because the job I had didn't really care that I was pregnant, so they didn't really help too much. They paid me, which is awesome, so I'm not going to lie, I got paid. But
yeah, I thank the Lord that you didn't lose him at all between all the. I mean, she had to go to work, and it was often time in the triple digits.
Yeah, and they didn't have air conditioning.
They had this little. You can look it up on Amazon. It's called the Arctic Air. Yeah, Arctic Air. Go and look it up. That's what she had to cool down the whole place that she worked in. From there, we did move back into my parents.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, my parents ended up getting a new house. Both my brothers were moved out. Well, one of my brothers were moved out. Peyton was still here, so that was pretty cool to live with one of my brothers again. I love that. But they got their own house, so there was room for us to come over along with Bruce. We do now still live with my parents to help them out in paying everything off. It's definitely a blessing to live with my parents, as well as, you know, it can be a double-edged sword. Living with just about any type of roommate, especially your family. I love them to death, but man, it can be a little bit of a struggle sometimes. But that's what this episode is about, is that the struggle oftentimes, it's never ending. You guys have each other. I mean, even now, I'm dealing with a mass that's either in or beside my lung that we're having to do a biopsy on. I have walking pneumonia, so if I've been a little bit short of breath or sound like I'm running out of breath in this episode, I'm sorry, that's why. A little bit of fluid in my lung that they're having to get sucked out this Wednesday. So that's pretty crazy, and we're hoping it's the best really, for it.
Yeah, it's really good just to communicate about how you're feeling and what you're both feeling, not just one or the other. Because, like, I held on for a day or two about how I was feeling about everything because I wanted to be, like, the strong one, the rock and everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I realized, like, I was taking everything out on everybody else instead of just communicating. Yeah. And I had to realize that. Yeah. And it's harder for some people than it is for others, and that's okay.
Yeah. Guys, don't be scared to work through your depression with your partner. Don't be afraid to get a little bit emotional with them. I mean, it's okay to cry. If you need to let everything out, definitely let everything out. That's what I've always believed. And that's it for today's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Can't wait to see you for this next time. And remember, we are the Boydens.